This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Riggs.
Yeah. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We got them screaming D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, D-Lo. We a number one spot, fresh from sports, huh? Got the city going crazy when we work, huh? We top two, but we ain't two, we in first, huh? And when you need the real, we is who you search, huh? D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo, KC, D-Lo. We a number one spot.
Let's go, baby. Let's get this Wednesday started. One more time, y'all know what it is. Y'all know what it is, man. Back-to-back wins for the Sacramento Kings. We're going to talk about it.
Wait a minute.
They do not know what Sactown brings. Win on the low, that's a Sactown thing. Talking about us, it's a bounce-out thing. Must they forgot we some Sacramento Kings. Whole squad going crazy, yeah, we back with it. Northern Cali going crazy, one sack winning. If you doubted us, then ain't no backspinning. This is real right here, ain't no catfishing. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look towards the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now.
You can tell them, you can tell them like the beam now. Hey.
Tell them like the beam now. You can tell them like the beam now.
Tell them like the beam now.
Back to back dubs.
Hey. You can tell them like the beam.
Starting the road trip off right.
Tell them like the beam now.
Don Moss is killing it. We're going verse 2.
Smoke, we the team of the year. We shaking things over here. Don't doubt, we believe over here. We don't bleed over here. And let me just speak real clear. I only deal with real kings over here. So tell me what you see now. Coming down the lane off the rebound. It's 9-16 now. Look toward the sky like the beam now. Tell them like the beam, like the beam now.
Shout out to that boy, Young Zell. Or as Mark Jones calls him. Denzel Choice.
does.
Welcome in here to the Wednesday, October 30th edition of D'Lo and KC. I'm Damian Barling.
The ultimate needle mover in God mode himself.
I'm in God mode.
You already know what it is, man. He's Kenny Caraway.
Yes, sir.
Acknowledge me.
And we are live.
From the worst slums of Sacramento.
The worst. We are happy that you're here with us. We feeling good. We feeling good.
We feeling great around here, man.
Kings get a win yesterday. Kings looked good yesterday. 29-14, third quarter, kind of put that one away. That is exactly what the Kings needed. It's exactly what Kings fans were hoping for. And now you've got two games in a row where, at least we believe, that the Sacramento Kings have played lesser opponents. And now we've got two games in a row where the Sacramento Kings have handily taken care of business here. Two games straight where the opponent's been held under 100 points. We'll talk about that. But the Kings get the win last night, man. 113-96. I do not know any other way to start this conversation other than to say Domantas Sabonis is eating.
My goodness.
He is having an all-NBA first team start to the season.
Dominating performance last night and dominating performance over the first four games.
Right now, Domas, AD, and Nikola Jokic are all first team All NBA. These guys are crushing it, man.
And he last night was just. I'm just watching that game and they ain't got no answer. They have no answer for this man. And that's what we've seen all year long. We saw it against the Lakers. We saw it against Portland. I mean, the numbers, the scoring numbers weren't there, but he was eating whenever he wanted to in that game as well. And now he's added the component of he's hitting 50-something percent from beyond the arc, and he's taking three of them a night. And, yeah, he's the truth. He is the truth right now. Wow.
Yeah, he has not. I'm just. I asked him to shoot a couple more times. Y'all got mad at me, and damn it, the man did it.
They almost threw you out of Sacramento that day.
They really did. And this dude shows up a day later and jumps me.
He said, get him.
Well, wait a minute.
Hey, Doc, you got bigger problems to worry about. Get the hell out of my studio.
Well, Doc, you ain't welcome here. I mean, you see the roster that I have. I don't know why you're acting like you see who I am.
Doc, you got Dame Lillard and Giannis Antetokounmpo. What are you talking about?
That's where you need to tell the whole story. I mean, I've got Torian Prince. He's playing all the time.
But, the hell's Doc Rivers got to do with any of this?
I wish you'd tell the whole story. Because in his dominating games, which is all four of them.
Yeah.
He's only shot the ball 13 times, 14 times, 8 times, and then last night, he lost his mind.
Shot 18 times. Man, he getting to the foul line.
I was going to say, I do agree with you. Like, you get to 16 shots a night, the way he's producing. Yeah, I'll take that. Absolutely.
Tomas is bad, man. That boy is bad. Mm. Absolutely love it. Kings dominated in the paint yesterday, too. 58-38 in that one. Domas, 28-11-4. He's averaging 37 minutes per game, 23 points, 11 rebounds, 65% from the field, 55% from three. And this question might be dumb. I don't think that it is. But we know kind of, you know, Jason Jones talks about narrative awards. Narratives exist, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, you know, we're four games into this, not trying to frame a conversation for awards. But I do wonder if the man, the player, is a little bit more on people's radar because of starting five.
For sure.
And when I mean...
it's got more, yes. Yeah. How much more, I don't know, but for sure, more.
Yeah, I mean, just in the sense of, I think a lot of... I think there were a lot of Katie's reality show watchers who were like, oh, okay, I'll look at this. Mm-hmm. But I think most fans were us. They were basketball fans.
Yeah.
And I do wonder how many people, like, saw Domas, saw the way that they played, heard his numbers, heard people talk about, like, he just does not get the love that he deserved, saw the montage of reactions when he didn't make the All-Star team. Mm-hmm. I wonder how many people saw that who weren't paying a ton of attention to Domas Sabonis last year, or maybe weren't paying attention the year before, saw that and were like, I'm going to keep an eye on this dude. Yeah. And you look up and you see that the man is, you know, 23-11 right out the gate, that he's, you know, dropping 28. He's one of three 20-point scorers on the Sacramento Kings. Mm-hmm. You know, you're looking at a lot of different teams right now that are kind of trying to find their footing. It feels like right now, one game into this road trip and a couple of wins into this, maybe the Kings are starting to find their footing. But to me, as great as DeMar has been, as good as De'Aaron has been, I'm gonna stop short of calling him great, but he's been good.
Yeah.
Domas has been great. Like, he's been the one to me, and it's hard to not look back at the preseason, man, and think, like, I know it's dumb, but I kept saying, man, everybody looks like they're coasting except him. He never looked like he coasted. He never looked like he wanted to get the preseason over with. He never looked like he was playing in a game that didn't matter. Mm-hmm. It looked like to me, and I could be wrong, that Domas was playing all out for all five or four. I don't remember if he sat one or not. All of those preseason games, and it's just carried over right here into the first four games of the regular season.
Well, the other thing that you see with Sabonis is, and this isn't an indictment on anybody else, it's just what I see with him, is you see that he put the work in.
Yeah.
He put the work in on his game. Mm-hmm. And it didn't have to be on Instagram. It didn't have to be, you know, on Hoop Central or anything like that to show he's been working on his game. He's been working on his moves. He's been working on
his game. The only time he wound up on those was when he was with DeMar.
Yeah.
And then the DeMar video showed up, and everyone was like, is that Domas?
Right. And even then, he's, hey, oh, we got a new player? Okay. I'm going to go down to L.A. We're going to work. We're going to get this work in. And that's what I see from him. I see the commitment to getting better over the summer flourishing now. And you see it with this shot. Like I said, he's ready to take the 3-point shot. He's hitting it at a good enough clip right now. He's been working on his game.
Yeah.
He's been working on his game. And that's what I always say. People can have whatever little clips that they want on Instagram, or they can tell you whatever as far as working. The proof is going to be in the pudding. Mm-hmm. The proof is going to be when them lights come on. And the lights are on right now, and Domas is shining bright.
Yeah, he is, man. And I could not be happier watching him play the way that he is. Assist numbers down a little bit, but De'Aaron's are up. Mm. Malik is continuing to do well. Man, there actually is – there's some – I think there are some interesting things to talk about in last night's game.
Okay.
I think there's a handful of things that we could discuss. The rotation being one. I think Mike again was aided by the flow of the game, or really by the way that the Sacramento Kings were playing. I think that helped him with the flow of the game. But we'll talk about that. That's going to be a season long thing. Like, I know Mike talked early in the season after the first couple of games about, oh, I gotta find that rotation, gotta settle into, gotta find the right distribution of minutes. It's going to vary. Like, if you're in a tight game, Domas isn't going to leave the floor very often. DeMar isn't going to leave the floor very often. De'Aaron, probably Keegan isn't going to, like, there's a lot.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of the observations from people outside of Sacramento regarding last night's game were interesting. People that we like, by the way, I'm not trying to make a smart ass remark. I'm talking about people that we like.
Mm.
People like Keith Smith. Mm. Keith Smith wrote a pretty extensive, you know, for Twitter, layout of what he saw in last night's game.
Mm-hmm.
And I think there was – Keith is no joke. Like, Keith
– he watched the league. Yeah,
yeah, he was like, hey, Keon's got to play.
Mm.
You've got to find minutes for Keon Ellis. He's too important on the defensive end for the Sacramento Kings. So those are all different things that we could talk about, man, throughout the day.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
And I'll say, I'm sure Keith Smith watched the Kings before that, but if you just watched that game last night, he not wrong.
Mm.
Keon was fantastic last night. Fantastic. We'll talk about it more at length. And the other crazy thing about that, though, the crazy thing, Keon was fantastic. And we'll dive into this.
Mm-hmm.
I think Kevin Herter's been fantastic.
Talk about it.
He has been sensational in these first four games.
I don't know that that is, but
sensational.
He absolutely has, man. Shout out to our boy TD right there. We'll come back, man. We're going to dive into all of these storylines. We're happy that you're here with us as the Sacramento Kings. Get to 2-2. Got a couple of days off now before they head to, well, they're heading to Atlanta now, but a couple of days off before that game is played on Friday night. So plenty to talk about, man. We are thrilled that you're here with us. It's Stephen McCasey, brought to you by Sky River Casino here on Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. All right, man, let's dive into this show a little bit.
Yes, sir.
916-909-1320, Elk Grove Kia Talk Line. If you want to be a part of the conversations, we, as always, would love to have you. As the Sacramento Kings get a victory last night, 113-96. We mentioned that third quarter. Kings had played pretty well leading into that third quarter, but that 29-14 quarter that they had really kind of put things away. Of course, coming out of halftime, Markkanen was out with back spasms, so he was kind of done. And the Kings took advantage. They went out there, they had a big quarter, and they really did put this game away. It allowed Mike to kind of chill a little bit in the fourth quarter. In terms of his rotations, De'Aaron had a really big third quarter, and that was just part of the story of the game, man.
Yeah,
that's part of the story of the game. I'm really happy with the way the Sacramento Kings played yesterday. I think having one of those games where, you know, it feels like last year, maybe even the last 2 years, we're just like, man, just they're not very good, man. Just put them away. Like, don't let this be a thing where everyone. I mean, in the end, if the Kings, you know, win, 113-112, you get the win, like you're fine.
Mm-hmm.
But how often did we hear, you know, they win those tight games like that against bad basketball teams? They're like, yeah, man, there's a lot we got to do better. You know, there are some things we're going to work on in practice. Like, And I'm sure they feel that way today. There are things that they got to work in practice. There are things that they got to do better. But overall, man, that's the way the game should have been.
Absolutely.
A run, blitzed them, put them away, and closed the game out in the fourth quarter.
And honestly, that's how I'm looking at what this team is going to do all year against subpar teams. I think they're going to be like the cobras or whatever, like a snake. It just suffocates you. You know what I mean? I think that's what they're going to do to these teams that don't have the personnel to keep up on the offensive end and don't have the personnel to defend everything that they've got. One of the things that I want to keep an eye on moving forward, especially against these teams that aren't very good, is what we've seen the last two nights in the third quarter. Coming out and blitzing these teams in these third quarters and creating separation during that quarter. And is that going to be a staple of what they are all year long? Because if it is, I'd love to see that. Mm-hmm. Love to see that. Mm-hmm. But that's what I did last night. I mean, it was I think it was a 9-point game going into the half. And yeah, it was a 9-point game going into the half. By the end of the third quarter, it was almost 30.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they started to lock up a little bit on the defensive end, and then they started to have their way on the offensive end. And I think, I was telling the insiders this, very good show. I think they're going to beat the hell out of these bad teams all year long.
I wish you hadn't said that. I hope you're right. Are there varying levels of bad? Like, what do we mean? Because, like, Utah's tough.
Utah's one of the worst teams in the game.
They very well might be. And the fact is, Portland might be, too.
Yeah.
I didn't think that going into the season, to be honest. Like, did I think they were a bottom, like, surefire, not making the playoffs, pushing? Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They might actually be worse than that. Mm-hmm. Like,
they don't have a lot there.
They, like, Cooper Flagg, like, they're going to be in position to, you know, fight for those top four odds type things. Yeah,
absolutely. So those teams, I mean, there's not like there's 20 of those teams, but
no,
there's,
for sure. There's like, a couple.
Yeah, there's 7 to 8 of those. They're gonna beat the hell out of them.
Okay,
they're gonna beat the hell out of those teams.
Oh, you're right.
And that's, you know, that's going to be, I'm sure they'll drop one or two of those type of games, but that's going to be, off the top of my head, maybe 15 games that they just handle business. And that's not taken into account. They'll beat the Clippers like that sometimes. They'll beat the Rockets like that. They'll beat the Nuggets like that maybe a couple of times. So I'm just saying those particular
Nikola Jokic, poor man DeMontis Sabonis. Needed overtime to get 18 rebounds.
This is a really good team. And the other thing that I said last night that I was watching, I tweeted it out, say it again on Wax. I'm going to give it about 10 more games.
I really should unblock your Twitter. It sounds like
that
a good
would be
account.
Nice. Yeah. That would be nice.
Kind of unblock it a day at a time.
Give it about 10 games.
Mm-hmm.
Let this offense get under control, and it's going to be
so you saying 10 more or 6 more?
10 more.
10 more. 14,
I'd say about, at the beginning of the season, I'd say about 15 games.
Okay.
So we're getting 14, 15 games total. And this offense is going to be a problem. Oh, man.
This offense
is going to be a problem.
I'm not sure that the offense isn't already a problem.
Oh, it's already a problem.
Like, we look at the, you know, the 113 doesn't, it's not like, oh, man. That's not a thing. That's even below the markers that we've used in years past for like where it feels like that they're unbeatable. But they put up 61 in the first half, and I don't mean this in a negative term. They had the ability to kind of coast in the fourth quarter. But I mean, if you just look at the first three quarters, they put up monster offensive numbers. And we see this a lot in games like that. They didn't need to in the fourth quarter. I don't want to say they took their foot off the gas, but, you know, a lot of, you know, guys, guys kind of came out and you just, in those games, you just kind of trying to close out the game.
So
I think the point in that, sorry, Casey, the offense was probably a lot better than the 113.
Absolutely.
Gives us the thought that it is.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's what I mean by that, by what I say. This game, I'm looking at this game right here, and I think it's the same for the Portland game. They had one 30-point quarter, the first quarter, 34 points. I think they're going A lot of times they're going to have at least two in a game moving forward.
Two,
at least
two 30-point quarters.
That the game against Portland, they had one.
They had 29 in the third.
And then they took their foot off the gas. I think they're going to, if there's an average, if Will Z wants to look at average for this, I think they're going to average 2 30-point quarters a game.
Okay.
Like, I think.
Will Z with us, by the way, later on.
They're going to, and it's going to be different. It's not going to be something that they necessarily blitz you with all the time. But I looked at the end of that game, and for about 5-6 possessions in that fourth quarter, they went to DeMar DeRozan, ran the offense through him. And every time it was a good look. It was DeRozan getting the bucket. It was him kicking out to Herter. It was him kicking out to Malik Monk. They just sat him at that elbow and let him go to work and ran the offense through him. And when they get a feel for the spacing and everything they're doing with that, I'll use the term I used on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be like shooting fish in a barrel.
Well, why would you do that? Why wouldn't you just grab the fish out of the barrel?
I'm not sure.
Oh.
But that's what it's going to be
like. Has anyone ever shot fish in a barrel?
Yeah, I'm sure they have. I have.
Like, what do you use? You know, you like a.
In the cartoons, they use a revolver. that's what Elmer Fudd would use.
Is he really the best guy to take advice from? Shooting fish in a barrel. AI's response. Can I also just remind people, because I don't think everybody knows this.
Uh-huh.
When you type something into Google now, the first thing that pops up is an AI response.
Yeah, I've seen that. I know that.
That AI response is not accurate.
Yeah, we all need to make sure we scroll past that.
Scroll past the AI response. I have heard this mistake made live on the radio. Did that happen to you today? Okay, that was not a shot at Kyle Mattson. I didn't know that that happened to him today.
AI overview.
That is, yeah.
Come on, man, give me an article. Stop playing like you. Give me an article like you used to. Snippet of an article.
What does it mean to be shooting fish in a barrel? It means it's ridiculously easy. No, I get that. What I'd like to know, okay, great. Oh, this is going to go well. It's a Reddit thread. You ever wonder where the expression shooting fish in a barrel came from? I mean, did someone actually do it? That's the question. I love this person. Like, surely you must have wondered. Seriously. Oh, this is great. And there's no answers because everybody on Reddit is just a smartass. Well, Kenny said it. Shooting fish in a barrel.
That's what this offense going to be like.
Just get a net. I don't know why people do that, but.
I don't know either.
Reddit is a spectacular place.
Reddit's great. I've never really dove into Reddit.
I did it once.
It's too crazy.
I did it once live on the air, and the only thing I found was a post that said, why does D'Lo hate Carmichael Davis so much?
I remember that.
Like, wait a minute. This is being discussed on the internet. What is happening?
Yeah, man.
Shout out Dave. He's probably taking his nap. He's going to wake up to a bunch of notifications and he's going to text us. The hell is going on here?
Yeah, well, I know.
That's fine, David.
It's like shooting fish in a barrel.
Apparently. Apparently.
Will Z in the Matthews Masters Chatty House gives the Kings have 30 plus quarters in 6 of the 16 quarters so far, one each game other than 3 against the Timberwolves.
Oh, that stings.
Mm.
That stings.
Mm.
He had 30 against the Timberwolves and didn't get that, or 3 against the Timberwolves and didn't get that one. Mm. Man, that surprises me about L.A. They put up 127?
My guess is that, well, I'm doing the math, they had 1, 3, that's 5. They only had 1 against L.A. Huh.
Maybe Will Z typed that wrong. It was 3 against L.A.
Oh, he says, whoops, Lakers not 10.
Yeah, that makes sense. Okay. Well, it makes sense because I'm looking at it. 34, 34, 33, that was the second, third, and fourth, and they had 26 in the first quarter.
Man.
A lowly 26.
That's going to be the norm. That's going to be the norm. I don't know about 3, but I said they're going to average 2 a game.
Okay.
That's what I'm looking at. That's what I was looking at the beginning of the season, and I just wondered how many times they could do that, get a 30-point quarter. And about 15 games in, we're going to see 2 of those on the regular.
Well, those types of games help Mike, and they help with his desire to not play these guys. to not play the DeMars and the Keegans and the so-ons for 40 minutes a game, 40-plus minutes a game. Mm-hmm. And last night was another night. That third quarter happens. It changes the way Mike can play guys in the fourth quarter. They had, like, a lead. Like, they were comfortable mm-hmm. in this game. And you mentioned the 9-point lead heading into halftime. That can help the way that Mike spreads out these minutes. And the more games you have like that, the more, you know, Keon Ellis played 17 last night. Trey Lyles played 20. Alex Lynn only played 5. But still, you had DeMar at 34. You had Keegan at 32. Remember, those guys had hit the first two games at 40-plus minutes. You had De'Aaron at 30 last night. Mm-hmm. You had Kevin Huerter at 26. We'll talk about him in a minute. And then Domas was at 34.
Yeah.
All of those guys except for Kevin have played 40-plus minutes in at least one game this year.
Mm.
So Mike being able to stay away from that, I'm sure helps him. And it gets Trey Lyles back on the floor more, who needs to be on the floor. And while I don't think Keon has to be out there on the floor to get better, it does get Keon out there. And I think the more that Keon is out there, the more that he shows his worth.
I agree. And you talk about what we saw from him last night. He was everywhere on the defensive end.
He was
really, really good. Stood out.
I agree. If I were to pick, so there's some weird things in this game, right? The Kings didn't shoot the three very well, and they decided to not make free throws yesterday.
Now that was, I said, come on, guys.
I know what Casey's going to say too. That's how averages work. It's all going to balance out. And they, you know,
no, they should shoot 90%. No,
I don't disagree at all. They did not do that yesterday. And they also didn't get to the foul line as much as they had in games past. But one, and those are, you know, those are things that, like, okay, like, that's fine. It's a one off. It's a game that you won. It's a game you won by double digits. It's a game in which you held the team under 100 points. I'll take that. Please don't do it again. Please don't make this regularly, but I'll take that. It's whatever. Mm. One thing that did kind of raise my antennas a little bit, because I do think, you know, you talk about what the Kings might look like, you know, in the next 10 games or so. You give them 15 games, figure out. I think a lot of that's probably Trey, too. Trey Lyles getting back there on the floor, finding his groove, playing basketball again. Might be true for Malik as well. Excuse me, not Malik. Maybe to a certain degree Malik, but Keon Ellis. One thing that I felt was kind of glaring yesterday was Malik didn't shoot well. And I looked at Malik not shooting well and then everything that happened with the other bench guys and thought, oh, this might be a glaring reason why Mike just will not waver on Malik's role on this team. Because with Malik missing, the bench didn't have much in terms of the offensive end. On the offensive end, they did not have a lot. You didn't get a double-digit game from Trey Lyles. You didn't get a double-digit game from anybody. You didn't get Keon getting sharp from behind the arc. And while it's a one-off, it did kind of, man, without Malik, you know, hitting 3-4 threes or, you know, driving to the bucket a bunch of times, the bench scoring does look a little, it looks a little thinner than it does on days where he's the pizza guy, and he's cooking.
Yeah. No, that's the truth, man. I mean, nobody in double figures last night off the bench. And Malik had, he had opportunities. He got 11 shot attempts up. You would expect him to, you know, get to the point where he's, you know, got 13, 15 points in that situation. But he just couldn't hit. 2 of 8 from beyond the arc. And when he doesn't hit, right now at least, there's nothing on the bench to kind of pick up for that. I think Trey Lyles will get to that point, but Trey is still working himself into game shape and getting a feel out there. This is literally his fourth game. He didn't play any preseason or anything like that. So he's trying to find his groove a little bit. But, yeah, your main bench scoring is definitely coming from Malik Monk. And if it's not there, it's scarce on that bench.
Yeah, and again, one off. But, you know, against the Bucks or the 76ers or Denver. Did you see any of Denver last night?
I didn't. Just the highlights.
We caught the highlight of Luka earlier. Jokic is sick, dude.
That boy bad.
He's not my favorite.
He was dropping dimes again?
He really is not my favorite. I don't like sitting down and watching the Denver Nuggets. Yeah. I really don't. But every time I do, I walk away with a, oh, my God. this dude. It's not that different than Luka. I don't enjoy watching Dallas.
Right.
But we did. And, oh, do you see the move by Luka? This ridiculous pass. Like, him and Jokic are just ridiculous.
It happens.
Just ridiculous.
It happens every time.
Every single game.
I see them on the schedule. Oh, I don't want to watch.
Yeah, right.
It's like not interested. Right. And then I watch because we watch basketball, and it's like, damn, these boys is bad. Can you believe what he just did?
Yeah.
Can you believe? It happens every time.
I don't believe what I just saw. What's that from again?
That is, oh man, what is
Isn't that? Kirk Gibson?
Is it Kirk Gibson? Kirk Gibson.
Yeah.
My first instinct was that airtime. No, that's not airtime. That's something else.
Everything starts with airtime.
It's what it feels like. Was Kirk Gibson in airtime anywhere?
Kyle Madsen throws an Ozzie Smith homer, but
go crazy, folks. Go crazy.
Oh, Ozzie Smith?
Yeah, not Kyle. Yeah.
Oh yeah, that was go.
Yeah.
I think it's Kirk Gibson. I went to WrestleMania for some reason. I was like, that's gotta be Bobby Heenan or something.
Now that would be more on brand.
It was like that's Shawn Michaels against Bret or something. Yeah.
No, that's the boyhood dream has come true. The most charismatic. Sorry. Bryce alerted me. Hey, man, watch NXT. I didn't. He said NXT was really good last night. I was just like, I can't, Bryce. Like, I'll try. Like, I did record it. I was just like, I'll try.
RVD came back.
What?
They're setting up that ECW thing next week.
Oh, stop it.
Oh, sorry.
No. They're doing that again?
Well, they're doing a little ECW at the little arena next week or whatever. Come on, man. It's fun.
The only thing that Eric Bischoff has ever said that was accurate is
that's not nice.
ECW is a pimple on the ass of professional wrestling. That's all it is. You know it's there. It annoys the hell out of you. But in the end, it's nothing.
RVD versus John Cena was a classic.
Yeah, that's because of John Cena and the crowd, though. RVD wasn't a bad wrestler.
No, RVD wasn't a bad wrestler.
He was
pretty spectacular.
No, he could go.
Yeah.
He could go.
I don't remember any of his matches, but he was pretty spectacular.
Well, you remember the Cena one.
Yeah.
I don't remember the match.
No, I remember the setting.
Does anyone remember what happened immediately after that? No.
Yeah, that's the one where Edge gets him, right?
No.
And then Paul Heyman
counts
it.
He gets... after the ECW thing, that was for the title. Mm. So he beat Cena for the title at the ECW arena. And maybe 2 weeks later, he gets arrested. He gets arrested, and Vince has him lose to, I don't remember if it was, maybe it was Edge. I don't remember who it was. Mm. But he loses the title like 2 weeks later because Vince is like, you got to be kidding me.
Oh, I didn't remember that though.
Yeah. RVD's title run was less than a month long because he messed up.
Oh, bad. What they were able to do, I don't know if you could always do it in wrestling and it would work, but they tapped into, with that particular match, the home away dynamic that we see
in
sports.
Oh, for sure.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, Cena's going to ECW. He's on the road now to have the, and it was great.
But I maintain to this day, the reason it worked the way that it did was Cena.
He was great.
Because Cena, instead of doing his big, elaborate thing, he knew what was going to happen, mm-hmm. and he walked out, did nothing, pulled his hat down, put the belt over his head, and walked straight to the ring. Mm. That was brilliant. Even when he threw out the shirt, he just tossed it. The guy in the front row catches it, throws it back at him. You could see the light bulb over his head go, boom, and he grabs it. And he throws it further this time. And then it gets thrown back. And John's one of the GOATs, man.
He is.
He understood the business as good as anyone.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
I wonder how John would feel about the Sacramento Kings.
Well, he likes them. You can't see
Jesse, get John Cena on the phone.
Can't see them.
Actually, we got John Cena here. Come on, Jesse, that's funny.
Come on. I laughed.
Sorry for the radio audience who has no idea what's going on. I just put up the empty
That's
chair.
Cena. That's Cena.
Well, you can't see him. I legit made myself laugh with that.
That's
Goodness
what made
gracious.
It even funnier, though. The chuckle.
You think Cena does media next year while he's wrestling and all that?
Yeah.
Like, maybe we can hit the WWE guys up, like, hey, maybe we can get Cena.
Cena just did. Is he too big time for that?
Yeah, is he like too big time for that?
I don't think so. Like, he just did something relatively big. I can't remember what it was.
He did Kai Sinat.
That's what it, yeah, he did. Yeah, yeah.
He was on Kai Sinat.
Yeah, yeah, he just did that.
Where's biggest, where's popular is Kai Sinat?
I think so.
I think so, too.
Do you believe it?
I would. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I keep
telling. That's what I'm going to tell the WWE guys.
That's what I keep telling
them. Well, that's what I'm going to tell New Aaron.
Yeah. You seen these YouTube numbers?
Yeah, man.
I wonder if New Aaron's ever listened to this show. He said he was listening on the app. He didn't say that to us. He said it generically.
He probably has.
Probably listening to Abe.
Yeah.
Pocket watching champion of the world.
That's so scary. Can you imagine New Aaron's like, oh, yeah, let's see what these guys are talking about. Yeah, I don't know why Bret Hart's always so bitter.
You know what the truth is? It could be so much worse than that. Like, the things that we do on the show, it could be so much worse if New Aaron tunes in at the wrong time.
No, like I said, Tribal Chief telling him, you know, you gotta, you know, if you want to familiarize yourself with the region, listen to 98 Rock.
Oh, it's 100% what it would be. Okay. All right, pal. So, settle down, old Aaron. Relax, buddy. Does it say anything? So the Kings missed free throws. Couldn't hit the three. But still put up 113, which is a, it's not far, like our barometer, but I think it was 115.
I think it was too.
Yeah, like they're 2 points off of that number, hitting single-digit threes and shooting 60% from the foul line. Granted, they didn't take a lot of free throws,
yeah,
but still.
And taking their foot off the gas, like we said, in that fourth quarter.
And when you talk about this team being something, you know, watching out for that offense in the you know, the next 10 games or so, and we'll take this 15-game sample size. I'm starting to, like, this is the DeMar DeRozan effect to me. This team, it used to be Sacramento will live and die, sometimes die painfully behind that three-point line. Four games in, I do not feel like that is the case anymore.
That's why the offense is going to be so crazy.
And I'll go one small step further. The takeaway from those two Warriors games in the preseason, they hit a few more threes in the second one. They hit none, figuratively, in the first one, talking about that first half. And I think, I always forget the number, but Golden State hit like nine more than they did. Or maybe it wasn't that. It was a lot more than they did in that first half. And the Kings were up two.
Yeah.
That is the DeMar DeRozan effect on the Sacramento Kings team.
100%. And this is why they're going to be so dynamic offensively, because they've got a number of different ways that they can beat you. It doesn't have to be with a three-point shot. It doesn't have to be with De'Aaron Fox. It doesn't have to be with Malik Monk. It could be with Sabonis. It could be with DeMar. It could be with Kevin Herter. It could be with DeMar ISO at the high post and let him make decisions right there. It could be De'Aaron Fox on the pick and roll with Sabonis. There was a time in the third quarter when they were running that high pick and roll with Domas and Fox to perfection. It's just, they can give it to you any way they want it, any way you want it. We can play up and down and start hitting some threes and shooting that, or we can slow it down, and we've got the weapons now in the half court where we're devastating in the half court. And they still don't even really got a fit. That's why I say 10 more games. They still don't really have a feel for everything they want to do all the time. When that comes, it's going to be scary hours. Oh, I just saw Lucas pass again.
Nasty.
Wow.
You mentioned Kevin Herter a couple of times. I think he deserves a significantly longer conversation. And you had one job.
We'll talk about this. Really did piss me off.
And you failed, and it's why the entire industry of regional sports networks needs to die. We'll come back. See them with KC, brought to you by Sky River Casino and Sacramento Sports Leader, ESPN 1320. KC, tell them about Prize Picks, baby. They need to download that app.
Prize Picks! Those are my people over there, man. You know, I didn't have a winning lineup last night, and it's okay. It's okay. One of the things that happened, and they didn't like, they didn't charge me for this, was marketing was on my Beam Money, and it was on the Beam Money lineup. and he got hurt.
You see why that makes us all uncomfortable?
Well,
right?
I mean, that's what it is. And like I said, I got to say
who's,
something. I
can't, who said,
can't say Sacramento Kings out here.
Who said it's something that it sounds like you take to Vegas? That was Jesse. I thought so. This Beam Money.
You know, we on that Beam Money, man. So they didn't put that against me. But at the same time, I didn't get everything that I needed last night. So no win. But I'm back at it today. I'm back at it today. No issues. And here's the thing. You can be at it too. All you got to do is download the app today. Use the code KIFM to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. That's promo code KIFM to get $50 instantly after you play your first $5 lineup. I'm going to have, well, for sure for every Kings game, mm-hmm. I'm going to be posting that Beam Money lineup. You know what I mean? I'm going to have that sometime, some random NBA nights like tonight. I'm going to take a look at the, you know, what's going on out there and put a lineup together tonight. Check on my Instagram, check on my Twitter, and you know, and you'll see what the lineup is for that night. But
I'm looking at some of these for tonight. LeBron James, 24 points more or less against the Cleveland Cavaliers.
The family's going back home.
He averages 28 against them on his career.
That's a good game, too. Lakers, Cavs, Lakers 3-1, Cavs 4-0.
Ja Morant versus Brooklyn, 26 points plus assist.
Kyle gave us
might
a pro
get
tip
in on that one.
Kyle gave us a pro tip earlier. He's just whatever Cam Thomas is for, just go more. So take a look at that. But
Tyrese versus Boston, 18 and a half points.
Less.
I already took that. I ain't even got the rest of my plays, but I took that one.
He hopped on that. Make sure he locked that in.
Yeah.
Put a light up.
Yeah, let me get this turned in before they change it.
So, yeah, man, promo code KIFM, Prize Pick, run your game. Must be present in certain states. Visit prizepicks.com for more details.
I think I'm going to take LeBron more.
Yo, wait a minute. Hold on, man. Hold on. Just noticing this.
Uh-oh.
I don't know if it'll come across. Sorry for the radio audience. Uh-huh. But why is this ref sweating so much? Let's see. We'll get here. It's Mavs,
yep.
Timberwolves,
Mavs
on the,
Timberwolves
on the. You see Luka complain.
Yep.
Look,
oh,
you can't
oh my God.
Gross.
Oh, buddy.
What is wrong?
Well, wait a sec. Well, wait a minute. Let's be fair to the officials. They're running up and down the floor, too.
No,
well,
that's
why
unnecessary.
Why have we never seen a coach, yeah. A referee like
that? Well, there have been a couple of officials.
Gucci 2.0 has never looked like that.
Well, that's because, okay. Are you going to make me point this out?
What?
Well, my brother was white. So, like.
I've never seen Joey Crawford look like that.
No, well, then now, wait a minute. Well, you've never seen Joey Crawford sweat?
I've seen him sweat, not like that.
Well, that's it. So, okay, it's a mind trick. Brother's hair was all messed up. He looked disheveled. He looked disheveled. We've seen Joey Crawford sweat before. He looked
dude,
like
he just got mugged or something. He looked,
man.
That poor guy, man. Damn. Get him a towel. Is that so hard? While I'm looking at the replay, hey, hand me a towel. Hey, Mo, do you got a towel? Scott, Mo, do you have a towel for me real quick? Thanks, bro.
That and a liquid IV or something.
And some water. Get him some
yeah,
water.
Give him in a water bottle.
Buddy, do you want some Gatorade?
Oh, man. You know, I'm still locked into this Kings game, though, man. We talked about yesterday, can we learn something if they win or lose?
Hmm.
And I said, and maybe it was playing it safe, but I really believe this, I'm not going to learn a whole lot just yet if they were to lose that game, because I was looking at the whole six-game, spell that they have coming up. I could learn something if they won, and I feel like I learned a little something. And it's maybe it's not as much learn something, or is it confirmed something for me? Oh, they're legit. This is a good basketball team. This is a good basketball team. And it's not necessarily the win. It's the way they've gone about their business in these past two games. They needed the wins. They needed to make sure they took care of business. And they did just that. They weren't messing around. They weren't really letting either one of those teams hang around. They buckled down on the defensive end. They got the ball where it needed to go on the offensive end. And they took these teams out like they were supposed to. Mm-hmm. That's something that I was looking for and I'm still going to be looking for with some of these games coming up. You've got a Toronto team that I don't think is very good, and their best player is going to be out for the two times you play them. Atlanta, they're trick-or-treat. You never know.
You want to elaborate on that for a second?
Yeah, my bad. Scotty Barnes, I think he got broken orbital bone.
Yeah.
He's going to be reevaluated in 3 weeks.
Yeah, and the first thing I thought of is the Kings. First thing I thought of, salute Scotty Barnes. Yeah, you know, get well, brother.
Yeah.
And then it crossed my mind pretty quickly.
Absolutely. We don't see him this year.
Yeah, Kings got two against Toronto coming up here real quick on this road trip. And then the first game back is Toronto.
Yep, yep.
We won't see Scotty Barnes at all this year.
Yeah, so, and they already weren't that good of a team with Scotty Barnes. So I'm looking for them to take care of business. The other one that we learned later in the day, and it's maybe not as significant, but it still matters, is Bogey's going to be out when they play Atlanta. Bogey's had a non-surgical procedure or something.
Yeah.
And he'll be reevaluated in 3 weeks.
Okay.
2 or 3 weeks. So he'll be out. So, you know, they showed me last night they are capable. I'm not saying they're going to do it every time. Well, I guess I am because I said that earlier. I think they're going to do it a lot of the times when they play these lesser than teams, but nothing's a guarantee. But they showed the capability of handling business when they needed to against teams they needed to in these past two games. And I love seeing that.
Absolutely. It's what every Kings fan wants to see. And in addition to that, play of Kevin Huerter. Kevin didn't have the best opening night against Minnesota, but we've got a three-game sample size here where it feels like he's settling into year one Kevin Huerter.
Mm-hmm.
And it doesn't look forced. It doesn't look like a stretch. It looks like he is – I hope this – he looks comfortable.
Yes.
Like he looks completely comfortable. And he was one of the guys who after the Portland game the other night said, yeah, we're still learning each other. There's still a lot to figure out. And I believe him because as we talked about yesterday, they all said it. They all said the same thing at the same time on the same day. So I'm going to believe him.
Mm-hmm.
But Kevin looks comfortable out there.
Yes.
He looks, once he hits his first shot, it felt like once that first three went down against
the Lakers.
Yeah. It felt like it was I wish that moment had happened at home because the home crowd wanted it so bad against Portland. But the, all right, settle down. Yeah. And
I'm healthy. I'm back out here.
I think he is.
And he had the move. You probably remember this on the break where he got the ball. He had leaked out. And I think DeMar got it to him up the court. He kind of had to wait for the ball. So it wasn't like a clear path. He got it. Controlled the ball. Jordan Clarkson's right there. And this just stood out to me. Kevin Huerter big-bodied him with the left shoulder. Just big-bodied him with the left shoulder to create some space and then had a nice little left hand up and under with the finish. And that was – I think he's perfectly fine. I don't think he was ever favoring the shoulder. But that's – I'm good. I'm back to playing basketball now because that was the surgically repaired shoulder. That was that side. And he didn't even think twice. He didn't hesitate to body up in that situation. And he's playing really good. I don't want to overstate it and be like, oh, you know, people, he's MVP. I'm not saying that. He's playing really good.
Mm-hmm.
He is shooting the ball well. He is active on the defensive end. It's been a thing since the season started about him with deflections. Now that that's, you know, something on people's radars, it seems like he's getting – 3 or 4 deflections every game. He did it again last night. And he's just being active. He's being present on the defensive end and as a team defender. And I'm so impressed with how he's playing. I'm so glad to see this for him, man, because I know last year was a tough season for him. And to have this type of start can only be encouraging, man. So big ups to Kevin Huerter.
Yeah, and I love this. 26 minutes so far through the first four games, 12 points, 55% from the field, 41.7% from three rebounds and assists, a steal, and a block per game. Of course, he had three in one game, so that skews things a little bit. But 12 points per game. Rewind to last year, 10.2. Rewind to Beam Team 1, 15.2. How often did we talk about, could Kevin find a sweet spot right in the middle?
Yes.
And through two games, he has found that spot right there to where that 12 per looks easy for him. Remember, that 12 per is based off the rough first night, too. If he continues to play the way that we've seen in the last three games, which it feels, it's not like he's gone, you know, 5 of 5 or 8 of 9 in a game that's skewing all of these averages. Last night's game looked like the Portland game, and it looked like the Laker game. Like, he's starting to settle in to a version of Kevin Huerter that we all recognize.
Yeah. Yeah, it's just a solid level of play every time he's out there. Just solid. And I think it's sustainable. That's the good thing about that, right? Like, the way he's playing doesn't seem over his head, doesn't seem out of body or anything like that. It seems like it's just, this is who he is. This type of player he is and can be. And sure, just because he's a jump shooter, there are going to be some nights that are, he's going to be off. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But just being involved in the game, that's what I'm really looking at. He's being involved, and I guess that's, you know, typically looked at as something on the defensive end, which he's doing a great job of. But offensively, he's not hesitant. He's not shy. He's looking for a shot. He's staying confident on the offensive end, whether he makes or misses. And I can't say enough about how impressed I am with him after the first four games. I know he didn't have a good first game, but I guess these next three games, he's bounced back in a real way.
Yeah. Yeah. Kevin deserves a lot of praise for the way that he's playing, because he got a lot of heat for the way that he played last year. And there were four game stretches last year where you'd be frustrated with Kevin Huerter, two game stretches, one game stretch where you'd be frustrated with Kevin Huerter. And, you know, when, now that it's flipped here a little bit, I think he deserves his praise.
Yes.
And he is off to a terrific start this season, as is Domas, which we started the show with, as is DeMar DeRozan. And we'll talk more about DeMar moving forward. But what about De'Aaron? De'Aaron, I actually thought the start that Domas is having, which feels like super aggressive, locked in, extremely high level. That's what I thought De'Aaron was going to be to start the season. And again, I don't think De'Aaron is playing bad at all. I think De'Aaron is playing good to, like, really good. I thought he might play at a different level to start the season.
Understandable.
And as I say that out loud, maybe he's like, why would I do that? I did that last year. I'm going to turn it on late.
Yeah, it could be the case.
I'm going to turn it, because everybody forgot what I did at the beginning of the season.
Right.
I'm going to make them remember what I do at a different point. And I don't know.
It could be the way he's looking at it. I mean, he's also looking at it, you know, I got so many weapons around me. I'm going to make sure I do my job, but I don't have to force it. I don't have to do nothing crazy. And I've always thought that's who De'Aaron Fox was. Does he have the capability to score 28 a night? Absolutely. Absolutely. But I always thought, this goes back to how I felt and the drafting of Marvin Bagley. Look, I make mistakes too. You know, I make mistakes. I'll express, because I always talk about my Barry Horowitz, where I pat myself on the back. I will tell you
even
my mistake.
When you shouldn't, but you did.
I looked at that situation as, oh yeah, Bagley gonna come in. He gonna be the number one scorer. He's the bucket getter. De'Aaron's gonna be the second guy that averages like 19 and 9 for his career, something like that. And he gonna be the heart and soul of everything. But as far as like actually getting the buckets, that's going to be Bagley and Bogey, I don't know, or something like that. But
Harry Giles, sir.
Harry Mason. Frank Mason.
Frank, mark my words.
But I think that's kind of where he's at. Like, I think that's where his mindset at. When I need to turn it up and I need to get 28, 29, I can and I will. But on a night-to-night basis, yeah, DeMar will run offense through you in this fourth quarter. Go to work. You know what I mean? Sabonis is killing. Why would I not set things up for him? He's a point guard. He is a point guard that can score at a high level. But I think at his core, he's a point guard. And the way the roster is right now, it's conducive to, I think, how he approaches the game of basketball. That's just my thought, too. I didn't talk to nobody. I don't know. But just the way he plays basketball, I think he's more of a true point guard than he is a super scorer.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at NewBalance.com.